I haven't had to get on you recently about too many red seats in the cathedral, but you got me PO'd this morning. That's a PO'd pastor. I have an idea God's PO'd too. We're downtown in this cathedral for only one reason. We don't need to be here for the message to go out. We have red seats at our sanctuary in Glendale. And for that matter, I could put a camera and a microphone in front of me in Anguilla and lay on the beach and deliver my message. We are here to make a statement. You could not duplicate this cathedral, factoring the price of bread in the year that it was built. And we know what it cost. With the price of bread today, you could not duplicate this beautiful structure in today's world for $100 million. And if you were like some of the workmen who crawled around in the steel, you would know why it survived so many earthquakes over these years. Like a lot of things today, they don't build. Craftsmanship in today's world consistently the way they used to. Real estate is at an all-time high. Since you are the only congregation in the world that worships in a mega buck sanctuary, and we're never asked to contribute a dime to obtaining this structure, you don't have anything to say. With God's help, I provided this place of worship. God replaced my first choice with His better choice. With real estate at an all-time high. This is a very marketable structure. The sublease on the 14-story office tower that's part of this complex that we had to live with when we came here will end this year. And that facility will be available for a vision of faith. We would have two places downtown except for one thing. And I told you, and I warned you, on Hope Street, what would happen if you did not keep it full. Every major Protestant church in the heart of this city of the angels fled to the suburbs because of mounting expenses and dwindling congregation. We accepted the challenge to keep a testimony in the heart of this city that people with the upward look had not abandoned the heart of the city. You don't get here without a pass. Because we want people to call and accept responsibility and make a statement that they will stick by when they say in faith they're going to be here as a testimony. We are live around the world. I'm the only pastor that tells you you don't have to go to church on Sunday to be a Christian. I've told you a few times you have to be here for me to be a Christian. But I think I can survive that. I can preach to an empty building if God so wills it. Indeed, there have been times when I have taken the stand, if you don't come here for the right reason, I will empty it. But we have a pact between us, congregation and pastor. We don't dilly-dally with BS and normal PR-type lingo. I'm faithful to my job. I expect you to be faithful to yours. I don't even use the word volunteer. There are no volunteers. The church is a people that belong to the Lord. And it is still true. Few there be that go in thereat. Now, we have a large enough King's House constituency in this Los Angeles basin for the testimony to be one that magnifies God and His Word, and you come here on Sunday as a testament to the worth of God's Word and to show the world that looks on every Sunday that we will do in faith what every other Protestant church has failed to do. I therefore will not tolerate a denial and an embarrassment on that testimony by faithless people who take this minister for granted and take my goodness for granted and sneer at God and leave your lazy self home instead of getting your ass up and on the freeway and down here to this sanctuary to be a testimony. I'll shut it down. Now you got me PO'd again. You've heard Wolf enough. You may think it won't happen, and I'm going to use my oft-repeated example. Call my first wife of 23 years and see if I ultimately get enough. And when it happens, there's no turning back. The world would be eager, and auction houses worldwide would be pounding on my door if I make that Bible collection available to the world and to museums and institutions who know what we have here. I repeat, third time, real estate is at an all-time high. I can move out of this place tomorrow and turn King's House 1 into a jewel of a studio and let no more than 120 of you in on any Sunday, and continue teaching as God anoints His Word. There are lots of things that are done in God's plan that cannot be done by an individual. That's why the church exists. All of you belong to the Lord, but there are some things He wants done in combination. When that is the case, the weakest link in the chain breaks the chain. I've told you this many times because I've been in this spot. When such a breakdown occurs, the historical consequences are irreversible. What God would have done fails. The spiritual consequences are not the same. God enters in, creates a new opportunity. For those that were faithful, He credits them as though the job were done. For those that were not faithful, He blames them individually, totally, for the job not being done. And for the faithful ones, He reconstructs another opportunity in another place as He did when we moved from Hope Street to here. For the ones not faithful, it could be the last time. And like those who were wasted in the wilderness, God doesn't give those non-faith ones another chance. Now, blunt and to the point, you that are listening at home, better get your ass in gear and get down here, or I will walk out of this cathedral one of these Sundays very soon if I see this many red seats. And when I walk out the next time, I will never come back to this place. This place will have Ichabod across it, and I will turn it into money and turn my ministry another direction. And if you think I'm bluffing, you try me by staying home next Sunday. You may say, well, we're here. Why are you on our case? Who did you try to get here this week? Don't crawl under a seat in shame. I'm not your usual pastor. I'm not the lucky one because you're here. You're the lucky one because you're here. I left auditoriums around the world. Indeed, about a week before I was called down to Pace Center, the fire marshals shut the doors at an auditorium in Melbourne, Australia, because too many were trying to get in. I came to a church where 105 members voted me in. And you could shoot a cannon through King's House 1 and hit more red seats empty than with people in them. I came because God wanted me here to return, among other things, a church to faith. I don't intend to oversee a second death of faithless people. It's nothing to do with Gene Scott. I know the word I deliver and the treasure of that word, and it is God and His word that you are expressing value toward and expressing a testimony of that value to. And if you don't do it, you aren't worth another word coming out of my mouth. You have to say this anymore. In 1999, this church doesn't ask a lot of you. The tithe is the Lord's. You aren't doing anything when you pay tithe. Offerings are when you start doing something. A tithe of your time is the Lord's. You're really asked to only do two things with your time. Make a commitment a couple of nights a week on festival, one to listen and one to work, and to be here on Sunday. I grew up in a church where you had to go to church every day. And don't make me have to say this anymore in 1999. Just get your ass down here next Sunday. Now, I'm PO'd about something else. I got a letter. I'm not going to name names. I tried to call this person. We have. My staff has all week. Oh, we get some answering machine. That makes me even more PO'd. First letter came in November 1998. From the King's House. And a King's tither. I sure hope he's listening. Dear Dr. Scott, first off, let me congratulate you for your recent 23rd anniversary. I'm proud to say that I've been a King's House and a King's tither for 13 of those 23 years. The message of grace and peace with no buts attached that God has called you to proclaim has literally transformed my life. I, like yourself, lost my faith while attending university. Until then, I had always felt God pulling at my heart, but my sense of spirituality had been perverted by having to contend with a bunch of fundamentalist asteroid orifices, although he uses the famous words that I have to be in a certain kind of mood to say. It was only your clear, resonant, no-nonsense message of faith that led me back to the Lord during a difficult time in my past. There isn't a week that goes by that I don't thank God for bringing you and your message into my life and for leading me to a pastor whose message I could help send around the world by acting in faith and bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. I usually call the 800 number when I want to leave a message, but thought I'd send this one to you directly in order to thank you personally for the difference you've made in my life and ask a favor of you. Pastor, could you possibly have someone on your staff send me a receipt or statement of some kind that reflects my tithe and offering totals for 1996 and 1997. Not individual monthly amounts, only the yearly totals. This is something that I would like to keep for my own records. To save your staff time, I've figured the totals for both years, although I'm sure you'll still want to verify them. They are 1996, $2,639.21. Well, that means he lived on $26,392.10 for that year. That's near poverty. 1997, $1,964.26. Paying tithes paid off. That year, God enabled them to live on $19,642.06. I didn't say it. He said bringing all the tithes. And that's plural. But if we just factor one, since the word tithe means 10%. If, for some reason, there is any difficulty in this, could you have one of your people contact me? My phone, fax, and address are listed on top of this letter. Once again, congratulations for 23 incredible years. And for me personally, thank you for 13 years and counting of the Word as it was meant to be preached. God bless you. Then I get, that was attached to the letter that came, 1/24/99. A week or so ago. Dear Dr. Scott, I've been trying to reach you in order to get receipts for the totals that my wife and I have given in tithes and offerings for the following years. 1996, according to my records, $2,639.21. 1997, according to my records, $1,964.26. 1998, according to my records, 3302.13. Getting better. I have written and left several messages. I just painted a painting. It's an oil painting. It's a coastal scene with the waves rolling in to a deserted beach, except for one thing. And you see bottles coming in on the waves. And bottles piled up on the beach. And the title of that painting is, "So You Claim You Left Me a Message." I have written and left several messages regarding this matter over the past 5 months. All have gone unanswered. I can only assume that you have not received these communications. That's right. That they've been intercepted by someone in the organization and for some reason not forwarded to you. Okay, that happens. I have attached a copy of my letter, which I just read to you. This is a mystery to me. Since I've been a faithful King's House and King's Tither since 1985, I know that if you had received any of my previous attempts to reach you, this simple request would have been answered long ago. Answered, you're right. I can only pray this latest message is received by you. Well, the whole world knows it now. I know this probably is a very common request. It's common, all right, but it's not usual. And would be a simple task for your accounting staff that get shocked. Especially since I included the amounts for each year from my own records in my last letter, see attached. I hope the staff allows you to see this latest in a long line of attempts to contact you. Now, I can beat on my staff, but you better stay off their ass. Just thought I'd say that. I'm beating on them to try to get them to heaven. So much, most of the time, you'll beat on them for some selfish reason. I don't tolerate it. I'm trying to save you and them with God's help. I hope staff allows you to see this latest in a long line of attempts to contact you. If not, I will very reluctantly. I don't know why anybody would expect me to reply to innumerous messages for the opportunity to rape my mother. There are just some things you don't ask. Can I date your wife? I've sent 50 messages and got no reply. Will you please answer? Can I have a homosexual affair with your 10-year-old boy so I can introduce him to the glories of a crossover? I've sent at least 45 messages with no response. Because I'm looking for you to kill you and can't find you. I want it to be a surprise. I'm doing this in the interest of saving someone and letting them have at least the credit for some other sorry soul to be straightened out. I hope the staff allows you to see this lays in a long line of attempts to contact you. You better understand as a congregation another thing about this pastor. Don't call me, I'll call you. Where does anybody get the idea that you can put Saul's armor on me? I announced when I came to town, you aren't getting the regular kind of pastor, and I'm here to teach you to understand and respect the position of a God-appointed man. You don't put me under any pressure to answer anything. You want something that you can't wait on, then my little sister and my brother, you start talking to God, because you ain't getting my audience unless I want you to have my audience. Well, I mean, you know, you want to fill the congregation and then you act like that, you're damn right. I hope the staff allows you to see. They don't allow me anything. I hope the staff allows you I can see through this. I've been on my staff, and somebody thinks, now I can play that tune too. I hope the staff allows you to see this latest in a long line of attempts to contact you. Now remember, the earlier letter said, for my own records. I hope the staff allows you to see this latest in a long line of attempts to contact you. If not, I will very reluctantly have to submit my taxes to the IRS along with a note stating that my church refuses to comply with the tax laws of supplying a contributor with a statement of receipt reflecting the total private donations of that contributor upon their request. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for your attention to this matter. Faithfully. Well, on your salary, if you're listening, you may need me to pay the taxi fare to take your little ass to the IRS. And then get ready to have your ass sued off for libel and for fraud. And on your salary, you're going to have a hard time paying attorneys. I've made it clear to this congregation, I will fight to the death for the right of this church to give contribution receipts to anyone who gives that are totally tax deductible. Both churches, as members of the Full Gospel Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International, and also by their own designation, Form 1023, we have the right to give deduction receipts to anybody, and I will fight to the death for our right, because to treat us differently is to treat us different than any other church, and that is our right. But over my dead body will you get a receipt, because it's a sin. Send your money to Jimmy Swaggart. He went before the Pickle Committee and said if they took away tax deduction, his ministry would die. Too bad they didn't take tax deduction away before the motel event. I had every ministry across the world say, when I took this stand, you won't make it. I said, I will not. I've read what happened when God, through the prophet, said to Hezekiah what would happen if they revealed their sacred things of God to the king, to the government. Not only did the government take everything they had, it took their young men and turned them into eunuchs until their capacity to reproduce was taken from them. I have staked our ministry on right kind of giving. Matthew, declaring that our righteousness must be in secret. The giving, the praying, the fasting, all of it. We will fight for our right to have anything granted to any other church. Theologically, you want tax deduction for your giving, give somewhere else. It's a sin, I said. The tithe is the Lord's. You don't take the tithe as a trusteeship to the storehouse and then say, well, now I can get some benefit. for myself out of that tithe by deducting it from my other income. Well, why don't you go ask your neighbor? To let you deduct something of theirs from your taxes. You got the gonads to do it to God. The tithe is the Lord's. You don't bring what is God's to God's house and then sneak on the side a benefit of tax deduction. You weren't even allowed to borrow against the tithe to pay a vow. You're a thief, according to God's book. You don't give Him His tithes. I've taught for more years than I can count this principle. We have a pastor's nugget, 30 minutes. It plays almost every day, 365 days out of the year, on this network, explaining our theology of giving. And that's why I say it's fraud. I tell you, don't give until you're first taught. Don't give unless you give for the teaching reasons here. Don't bring your trappings from Egypt when you come in here. We don't need the money. We don't need you. We don't want you with an attitude that does not conform to the theology that we preach here. And the theology says, you give because of the value of God's Word. You give the tithe because it's the Lord. You give for biblical reasons. And don't even ask for a receipt because we will not support you in it. And for you to ask is to engage in fraud because you gave to us under the condition precedent these terms of giving. And since you know what you gave, if you want to violate your own soul, your canceled check is your receipt. Go ahead and turn it in and take the consequences in hell and from God. Don't ask me to cooperate with you in your sinning act. Well, the IRS wants to know whether you're a church or not. They already know. So, ask that asteroid Orpheus if he asks you that, what planet he's living on. We're in their computers at least until Y2K. Now, I know what happens. People nod their head and agree. But when tax time comes, they got to squeeze a few dollars here. So, old Doc will never know. I'm going to report my contributions. And it goes on until the IRS audits. And then they ask you to prove it up. So then you, well, how am I going to get out of this mess? I mean, don't insult my intelligence. Nobody files 3 years of tax returns at the same time unless you're in trouble. If you're filing your taxes legal, you do it on an annual basis. So, if you have an innocent need for this year's taxes, you just ask for 1 year. Don't ask me for any year. But when you need to support 3 years, that tells me you're being audited. Unless you're a government plant trying to test me and come on. Now, for as any government agency trying to challenge our theological beliefs, we've been down that road before. God doesn't need our money. I repeat what I've been saying for 23 years. God is the Creator. As the Creator, He speaks, and everything is. We are creatures. We have needs. The Creator, by His nature, has no need. So, whatever the reason for giving, in God's plan of man-God relatedness, it's not because God needs money. All the silver and the gold are His. Those who think differently are ignorant squatters that'll burn with their gold. God doesn't need money. That's been my crusade to bring dignity into giving. Whatever reason for giving, it's not that God needs it. We need to give for a reason God makes clear. He's not interested in our money. He's interested in our attitude. Where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. He's interested in placement of our heart. He's interested in finding out if He is worth more than anything else. You are His, bought with the price of His own dear Son. You are the Lord's, bought with the price of His own blood. And that means all that we have, His. He deigns to let us keep 90%. And joys to bless that. If we recognize His ownership with the tithe, isn't debatable. The tithe and the first fruits are the Lord's. It doesn't matter whether you know that or not. I have people say, "Well, I don't understand the tithe yet." Well, that's probably why the King James chose to transliterate and use the word tithe when it simply means tenth. The tenth. And most people can figure tenths. Doesn't even take an adding machine. The tenth is the Lord's. The first fruits are the Lord's. That gets a little more complicated, but not if you listen to me teach. The tithes are the Lord's. And let him that's taught in the Word share materially with the one who taught him in all good things. Now, you bring to this church in response to the Word, in response to what you've been taught, and it is not yours, and when you give it, there are no strings attached. We don't raise money for projects. We teach. You give for right reasons, and furthermore, it's not your church. The church is a people that belong to the Lord. It's not your tithes. The tithes are the Lord's. This is the storehouse. I am charged in the place of the Levite to collect these. Now, just because you get your tail in crack by doing what you shouldn't do, deducting. Well, I want to give and get charitable deduction. Then give somewhere else and get your ass out of here. I think that's clear, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And don't write me any dumb letters. lucky I'm not naming names and giving addresses. Don't insult my intelligence. You get your tail in a crack because you did what you shouldn't have done and put your giving on the sheet and deducted it in your tax because you listened to some goddamn CPA. They're the only breed of mankind I hate as much as I hate attorneys. You know, my judgment and experience in college is a lot of people end up accountants because they aren't smart enough to do anything else. And if you're an accountant sitting here, you got to prove it to me. You're like women, you got to prove you ain't. Accountants are hired hands. They like to think they're not. I hate the breed of people who come in like attorneys and doctors and accountants that want to be worshipped as long as you pay them. They want that mysticism that they're not hired hands. How many doctors ever give you the bill? They have a girl do it. They're not associated with money, you know? They're hired specialists who work on a dying piece of flesh. And I only respect them if they also understand there's another self in here that has eternal connections that needs to be taken care of too. The pox on all doctors that don't breathe a prayer before they put their hands into these bodies. Accountants, independent, auditors who aren't working for you, who assume at the outset you're a crook that they have to somehow keep out of jail. I start assuming they're a crook that I have to keep out of jail. Particularly since I'm the one that's going to have to do time for their mistake. Oh, that's a bunch of other sermons I'm not preaching today. You understand, this church doesn't want your frickin' money. And if you have gotten your tail in a crack because you reported in violation of what we teach, and you defrauded us by giving us money under one understanding and you're trying to get another one, then be honest. Don't try to slip up on me and say, I want it for my records, and when that doesn't work, then spew out vitriol for failure to get responses to that letter and say, the truth, finally, I need it for the IRS. Tell me going out the gate. I violated your teachings. I apologize for it. Is there any way you can help me? Then I might think about it. Don't try any of this kabbalah on me. I don't like anybody underestimating our intelligence here. Nos comprendemos? Thousands of pastors around the world that wish they could say what I'm saying, but they'd go broke if they did. This is faith in God. This church will not give financial statements. There are two reasons why you don't give financial statements. One is you don't want anybody to know how little you have. The other is you don't want anybody to know how much you have. Which is it in our case? Well, look around. Furthermore, the essence of financial power is secrecy. The government knows that. That's why they work so hard to make sure nobody can have any financial secrets except them. Only they. They know that truth, dating back long before, but exhibited most prominently by the Rothschilds, who invented the bearer bonds, where you go in and bring your bearer bond and pay to the bearer. Nobody knew what they had. They knew the war on both sides before anybody else knew it, and Rothschild's son standing by his pillar at the London Stock Exchange, raking it in because he knew before the rest of England knew about the battle that had just been won. Now you can't have bearer bonds. As usual, to stop crime, they punish the non-criminals, because bearer bonds can be used to launder money. Now when you take a bearer bond in, you have to explain where you got it, full pedigree, which means they don't pay to the bearer until the bearer identifies how and where and when he got the bond. So what good is a bearer bond? The purpose is secrecy. I used to fight and people would say, well, if you have nothing to hide, why don't you open up? Because I got a lot to hide. What the hell do you think I wear clothes for? That goes both ways. Just like financial statements. Too much, too little. Thank God I can find humor in anything. This is not my message for the day. It ought to be. I fought for the right to hide nothing. Let me give you some more instruction. Tax deduction, which you as a citizen can take a receipt for and deduct it from your taxes, is a privilege granted by the Congress, not a right. It is not a constitutional right. It is a constitutional right for you to give to churches. It's not a constitutional right for you to take a deduction. That is a privilege granted by Congress. I said it's a sin. Now I'm going to give you some practical advice. The motor that runs this church. This church almost died because they were idiotic enough to take a television license before I came here in their own name. Television license is a privilege. And when they took it in their own name, they opened the door for government inspection, which created the problems of Faith Center's television licenses. And we gave them everything in terms of records except the donor records, which even the Communist Party is not required to give its donor records. An enemy of an organization having the donor records can harass you to death if they know who your members are. That's a constitutional right of association. giving and taking deduction credit is a privilege. And it identifies who the givers are for Antichrist. They'll have your number down pat. And it can be taken away, since it's a privilege, by a simple vote. I recognized, whereas the rest of them were panting, they couldn't teach enough for it to be worth giving to. They didn't have the guts to teach giving on a right basis. They were living on a shoestring and making a beggar out of God. So anything that would bring more money in, that's why they look for catastrophe in the world, so they can create a department and rake the expenses off the top, administrative costs of helping these poor starving people, when there are charities innumerable that'll do it better. We give to charity. You want tax deduction? Give it to charities. We support that. But the church, if you get yourself on a budget where your money will not come in unless tax deduction is possible, the church can be strangled overnight by a simple congressional act of eliminating the deduction, which they can do. I said, I will never, ever let a church I pastor get in a position where it is dependent upon something gratis from the government that ultimately will take a shape in Antichrist. Church's existence and our rights to be treated as any other church and our rights to be tax exempt as a church, that's a right, a constitutional right, not a privilege, a right that the government had to recognize before it came into existence, a condition of its existence, free expression of religion, and it's been constitutionalized. Classic case, Madeline Murray O'Hare, over about $7, I think it was, went to the Supreme Court saying that tax exemption violated the Establishment Clause. That's the only, religion's the only one that has a two-pronged part in that First Amendment. Government shall not interfere with free exercise of religion, nor will it establish religion. She argued that tax exemption was an indirect establishment of religion by giving them an advantage. The court triangulized it. They said it's true. There is an indirect subsidy of all churches in tax exemption. And then if we start taxing them, there is interference with free exercise, with tax assessments, intrusive analysis, assessments and penalties, and even taking the property through tax sales. And so they constitutionalized it with what they called the entanglement issue. And they went back to the Founding Fathers and to the word not in the Constitution, but in Jefferson's writings, that there should be a separation between church and state. And they constitutionalized no or lesser entanglement. They analyzed both. They were caught between a rock and a hard place. Indirect, even-handed, neutral subsidy of all churches creates less entanglement between the church and the government than taxation, which would unleash state, county, city, federal, constant entanglement between the state and the church. And they therefore constitutionalized, turned the old lady down, and said the tax exemption was not a violation of the Constitution, but rather was constitutionally protected because there was less entanglement with even-handed, neutral tax exemption than the entanglement that taxation would bring. Therefore, our exemption is a right. We don't have to apologize for it. We don't have to justify it any more than those damnable articles we read in newspapers under the right of free press. Ours is a right, not a privilege. Contribution deduction is a privilege. I fight for the right. I will not cooperate with people taking the privilege which makes them dependent upon the government. The government's largesse or gratis to keep the budget up. I fight for the right to grant the receipts. I take the privilege, theologically and practically, the church I pastor will not grant deduction receipts. And believe you me, the IRS not interested in coming after us because I might get mad enough to say, refile your taxes, folks, and take that loss in eternity to fight a battle for Jesus Christ and amend all your returns and take your deductions for the last 5 years or 3 years. But you better wait till I say it before you do that. Like the fountain of faith, we gave in that case for a purpose. We then openly said, you're not seeking eternal rewards for this. You're making a testimony to be seen of men as you give to build the fountain of faith the way the people of Israel build a monument on the Canaan side of Jordan and on the front side of their obtaining the promises so they could take their children back and say, when it was a dark hour, we declared our faith. There's a difference between open testimony by coming to this sanctuary or giving that is done to make a testimony and giving in secret that your rewards might be in secret. I'll tell you another practical matter. This church will not file financial statements because the trick of banks nowadays is they want you to get credit and file, and theoretically, they ask for collateral sufficient to justify the loan. What they really want is you to make these claims about yourself and what you're worth. So, if you fail to pay, the collateral is not as the only thing they go to. Now they can go after you, forcing you to prove that what you said your things were worth were actually worth that. Otherwise, you committed fraud in making the claim, trying to get a loan. Well, now it gets worse with churches who close the door and dwell in the privacy of their sacred rights constitutionally. This church, before I came, stepped outside that envelope when they voluntarily asked for a license in their own name. They opened the door. That's why it changed when I came, and the church I pastored before I came here, and still do, Westcott, never ever, up until 1970, churches could engage in unrelated business with no tax consequence. The law changed in 1970, because that was a privilege. And in 1970, they had 5 years to divest or pay tax on unrelated business. At that time, Rex Humbard was running a girdle factory. It was part of his church. I could probably find a spiritual reason for that. A lot of churches, particularly fundamentalist ones, they need a girdle factory. One that reaches all the way down to the knees. We immediately divested. And this is another one of our principles. If something even looks like it's unrelated business and not biblical giving to God for God's reasons, we create another corporation, tax-paying, and do the business there, wholly owned by the church, but it does its work like Dolores Press and pays taxes outside the church, and the IRS can have the key to those institutions. They're tax-paying. We don't engage in unrelated business. We don't want the door open. Now, the IRS would like to come up with some kind of stupid rule that requires churches to give receipts for their members to obtain what is a privilege, not a right. Then, some dumb pastor wanting to be cooperative gives receipts. Now the foot's in the door. Because no matter what receipt we give, the government has the right to say, well, we want proof. Maybe you like this member and you're supporting him and we want to have actual proof of his donations. Well, he's got his check. Well, maybe there's something else. We need, since you've opened the door by participating in giving the receipts, we now want to come in and examine your donor records to make sure that what you are supporting through independent audit is what really happened. Do you really think I'm that dumb? I'm here to protect this church. And there are certain things we got a long track record of demonstrating we'll go to the mat on. So don't be dumb enough, like some pimple-faced teenager coming to town to make a reputation by taking on the old sheriff. I haven't lost my draw. It's still as fast as it ever was. And I have one last word. As tough as I am on my staff, who know everything, you have to be pretty clean to get away with that kind of toughness. I used to tell the government, come work for me, then you'll know what's going on. You want a job? Now it's offering time. You're going to write me a letter this week and ask for receipts, are you? The reason for all of this is in the title of the song. We want to go up yonder. And that's what the song is, going up yonder.